Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, we announce with sorrow the passing away of Mrs. Yanichev and Sluice on Wednesday, December 3rd, at the age of 89 years. The Lord willing, the funeral is scheduled for tomorrow afternoon at 1:30 p.m. here in the Fort McLeod Church. Let us sing, therefore, from Psalter 247, stanzas 4 through 6, and afterwards the scriptures will be read. The scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the prophecy of Isaiah, in the 9th chapter. 247, 4 through 6, 1,000 ages in thy sight are like an evening gone, short as the watch that ends the night before the rising sun. 4, 5, and 6 of 247.
Before we read from God's holy word, Isaiah chapter 9, we will read the Ten Commandments of the Lord. And God spake all these words, as we can find in Exodus 20, Deuteronomy 5, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Isaiah chapter 9. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation. When at the first he highly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward it more grievously afflicted her by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan in Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation, and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. Thou hast broken the yoke of his burden, and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise, and garments rolled in blood, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom to order it, and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The Lord sent a word unto Jacob, and it had laid it upon Israel. And all the people shall know, even Ephraim and the inhabitants of Samaria, that say in the pride and stoutness of heart, the bricks are fallen down, But we will build with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedars. Therefore the Lord shall set up the adversaries of risen against them, and join his enemies together, the Syrians before and the Philistines behind, and they shall devour Israel with open mouth. For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. For the people turn not unto him that smited them, neither do they seek the Lord of hosts. Therefore the Lord will cut off from Israel head and tail, branch and rush in one day. The ancient and the honorable, he is the head, and the prophet that teacheth lies, he is the tail. For the leaders of this people cause them to err, and they that are led of them are destroyed. Therefore the Lord shall have no joy in their young men, neither shall have mercy on their fatherless and widows. For every one is a hypocrite and an evildoer, and every mouth speaketh folly. For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. For wickedness burneth as the fire. It shall devour the briars and the thorns, and shall kindle in the thickets of the forest. And they shall mount up like the lightning up, like the lifting up of smoke. Through the wrath of the Lord of hosts is the land darkened, and the people shall be as the fuel of the fire. No man shall spare his brother, and he shall snatch on the right hand and be hungry, and he shall eat on the left hand, and they shall not be satisfied. They shall eat every man the flesh of his own arm. Manasseh, Ephraim, and Ephraim, Manasseh, and they together shall be against Judah. For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, we may be gathered together again in this thy holy Sabbath day in this morning hour. And she is no longer among us who has come up Sabbath after Sabbath day. Lord, thou knowest all those that mourn. Wilt thou remember them in their place this day? For we cannot miss our loved ones in this world. They are bonds which are laid by thee between parents and children, brothers and sisters, loved ones, relations in this world, wherein thou showest a little bit of those bonds that thou layest between thee and thy people, that thou may cause also this family and the others also that mourn, for thou knowest where that they are. Another we understand, well known among us. Lord, that thou may look upon each and every one and do draw us to feel something of the broken bond with thee that we have been created in a paradise, that we have broken through our sin in Adam, and that we have experienced, each and every one of us, that a spiritual death, that it may become for us our burden, that thou may remember those that must bring their beloved to the grave in the day of tomorrow, or that thou may be round about them in their mourning, and that thou may uphold them in all their sorrow. Remember all those that mourn. Thou knowest the place where they are in this day. Those that miss their wives. Those that miss their husbands. Their fathers, their mothers, their children, their sons, and their daughters. Oh, that thou thyself may speak to the heart of each and every one of us in these times, when the callings are multiplied exceedingly, and when it is laid before us time after time, that we have here no continuing city. Oh, teach us, Lord, to seek one to come, that we may feel something of the emptiness, of the vanity of our life, as the preacher said, vanity of vanities. All is vanity. Oh, give us to feel something of our pilgrimage, that we may experience for our own heart, and that we are a stranger and that we are a pilgrim here below. And that we are travelers traveling to our eternal home. That we might learn to flee unto thee. And while it is still called today, O Lord, thou hast all the power given unto thee in heaven and in earth. Thou art able to speak one word in this thy holy day, that we may be drawn from nature's darkness into thy marvelous light. And thou knowest that it is also in this day a time of preparation for thy holy supper that is to be administered next week, if thou wilt give it. O thou knowest, Lord, the hearts of thy children. Then it can be that they say, oh, that I had wings like a dove, and that I might fly far away to seek for the rest that I love, where trouble no more could dismay. Oh, thou sayest, nay, but O soul, call on God, for he for thy help will appear. At eve, morn, and noon, humbly pray, and he thy petition shall hear. Oh, that thou may remember thy people. Thou knowest how often that it is, that they fear that they are not one of thine. Then it can be so difficult in that week of preparation for thy holy supper, that week of examination, and to lay it now all before thee, and that thou would take away everything that we have built upon ourselves, and that thou may leave but that one hope. Oh, that we may be given to forsake every false foundation, that there may be one solid rock, that church may be given to stand upon by a true and a living faith. Oh, that thou may grant in this day what is necessary for us to take forth the precious from the vile. Lord, thou knowest our foolishness. Oh, that we are not able to do this work. But, oh, we beseech thee for thy help, that thou may give us wisdom, that thou may give us that grace living in our own heart, that we may be able to discern, and that we may be able to speak it in a clear way, that there also may be in the midst of us as a congregation a hunger and a thirst after thee, the true and the living God. Oh, that we could not do without thee anymore, that we may taste something of the hopelessness that there is from our own side, and that we may need thee, that thou may reveal thyself unto those that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. Oh, that that light may be given to shine a little bit in this morning hour. Oh, for a little ray opened from heaven, and that there may be a little separation in the dark clouds, and that there may be a little light here upon the earth. Ever thy children are in the midst of that warfare with that triple-headed enemy. Lord, the fears are many, and that they will one day succumb, that Satan will have the victory, and that sin will have the upper hand. But oh, when they may be given to look upon thee for a moment in this day, then they shall receive the victory in and through that true saving faith. Oh Lord, open it unto thy dear children. And wilt thou cause us when we deceive ourselves to receive light in this morning as we have never seen it in our life. Oh, when we have taken it into our own hands. And when we have been so mistaken. And when we have put a face before others. And when we are not upright before thee. Oh, that thou would take away our hypocrisy. Oh, that thou may open our eyes for the first time then in our life. And that we may be given be honest before thee. Before whom we have to appear. And when soon also we shall pass out of this life. Then there shall no face be able to stand. But then we shall stand naked before thee. With whom we have to do. Oh, then it shall not have profited us to have had a name to live but be dead. Oh, Lord, that thou may open thy word then this day. That it may strike us in our heart, and that our wretchedness and our sin may be laid bare, that we may be given for the first time in our life, truly to smite upon our breast, and to say, O God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Look upon us when we sit careless in our pew. Thou knowest what we are by nature, dead in sins and in trespasses. Then there is nothing in our heart, and there is nothing in our life that goes out after the true and the living God. Oh, then we are as hard as the benches that we sit upon, a heart harder as the nether millstone, only to be broken by thee. Oh, in a moment thou art able to melt it. In a moment thou art able to break it, and thou art able to open our hard and sinful hearts. Oh, we beseech thee, Lord, for the power of thy Holy Spirit, that thou would send forth thy Spirit even in this hour, when thou sittest upon thy throne as he that is victorious over sin and over hell and over death and the grave. O thou who hast received the victory, send forth thy Spirit now, and wilt thou show that victory over sin, over the devil who holds man in death by nature. O show that thou art stronger, that thou art able to send a single word in the heart of the youngest or of the oldest of the congregation, and that thou art able to make a hard heart to break, and to give a man contrition, and to give him to weep tears of sorrow after the true and the living God. Oh, does it not lie, Lord, in thy hand? And canst thou not do it? Oh, deal not with us then as our many sins deserve, as we are traveling to that great eternity, and with a knowledge of thee and thy truth in our mind, but a rejection and a rebellion and an unbelief in our heart. Oh, that thou thyself would show, that thou art the God of that covenant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who has said, I will be thy God, and I will be the God of thy seed. that thou mayest then raise up also among us who have received that holy sacrament of baptism, and with the name of the triune God upon our foreheads, and so going over this world in a way of outward separation from all this mankind. But Lord, then there is no separation within our hearts except that thou wilt make it thyself. Oh, show thyself then unto us and our children when we have left thee days without number, and when our sins rise up against us, prevailing day by day. Oh, could it please thee then, in all our unworthiness, when we lie polluted, cast out in the open field, lying in our own blood, that thou would speak the word, that thou would say, live. Oh, then we shall live. And thou wilt spread thy skirt over us, and thou wilt say in thy time of love, thou art mine. Wilt thou look upon us in all our needs? Look on us in all the needs also of this life. There are many in the midst of this world, this time state wherein our punishment because of our sin lies upon us, and the consequences of that sin to bring forth all that tends unto death. Oh, there is so much sickness in the midst of us as congregations, as a community, the children and the young, the older ones. Oh, we beseech thee, Lord, that thou may remember all that are afflicted and sick, especially the little children. And could it please thee to heal them again, and give them to see something of the need of that great physician. There are others that suffer from serious diseases. Oh, they are known, they are unknown unto us. Oh, thou knowest those that have to receive surgeries. Oh, that thou may remember them where they are. Oh, in the fears of the flesh wilt thou cause the heart to ascend unto thee, and that the petition may be heard in heaven, and that thou may hear from heaven thy dwelling place. Help us in this hour. Oh, be on our right and on our left hand. Forsake us not utterly. Forgive our many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 102. Stanzas 1 through 5. In thy wrath and hot displeasure, chasten not thy servant, Lord, and let thy mercy without measure help and peace to me afford. And we announce, the Lord willing, there will be a meeting of the male members on Thursday, December 11th at 7:30 p.m. for the purpose of electing office bearers and other business. The following nominations have been set by the consistory. For elder, Mr. Hybert DeLeo, Mr. Garrett Van Heerden. For deacon, Mr. Brendan DeYoung and Mr. Henry Van Sluis. The last collection today is for the Calvin Christian School, Psalter 102, all stanzas. beloved congregation. Next week, the Lord willing, the Lord's Supper will be administered in our midst. That means that we begin in this day a week of preparation, of self-examination that ought really to be every day. But then especially in this week, because the Lord, He says, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. How must we then examine ourselves? Well, then we need to ask ourselves in the first place whether we are a confessing member of the church. And if not, why not? Then is there a reason that we have no desire to join ourselves to the true church of God? And because that is our duty. Else we read in our confession the unity of the church. We must ask ourselves in the second place, how is our standing within the church? And that is, whether that we are placed under discipline. And if so, why? That is there a reason that we are not willing to break with that which is an offense within the church, because that is once again a breaking of the unity of that church of God? We must ask ourselves also whether there is something that is standing in between us and our neighbor. And whether these things are not solvable, that is, by self-denial from our own side, by a communion with one another. I was thinking that the Lord would make us all together a manslayer, because how many times maybe have we not within our hearts slain one another. But the Lord, He says, pray. Pray for them that despitefully use you. And if we could come, congregation, in such a place together, then there is most of the time a way to solve it. Then there is, of course, when we have taken a look at what is necessary from the side of a church rite, that we are asking whether that we have also a divine rite that is not between us and our neighbor, that is between our soul and the Lord, that is difficult. And why is that so difficult? Well, it is difficult because we have a deceitful heart. Because we are not upright. Because honesty with our own soul before the Lord, that is really not a fruit of our own field, that is a gift of God. But it is also difficult because there is not only that faith which is that is in its strength, but there is also that faith, that true faith, which is in its weakness. As the Lord, He has said so often unto His disciples, O ye of little faith. Thus there is a faith that can remove mountains. There is a faith that may slay a Goliath, with a sling and a stone. But then there is also a faith, which is also a true faith, which is what we call sometimes a refuge-taking faith. And that we wish to consider together once again in this morning hour out of the words of our text, which you can find in Joshua chapter 20, the second part of verse 7. Joshua chapter 20, the second part of verse 7. These words, "And Shechem in Mount Ephraim." So far the words of our text. The true church, distinguished by her seeking refuge in Shechem. First, Shechem defined. Second, the opinion of the natural man concerning Shechem. And third, the lesson of grace concerning Shechem. Thus, the true church, distinguished by her seeking refuge in Shechem. First, Shechem defined. Second, the opinion of the natural man concerning Shechem. And third, the lesson of grace concerning Shechem. And Shechem in Mount Ephraim. We have heard last time about Kedesh. Kedesh in Galilee in Mount Naphtali. Thus, the cities of refuge on both sides of the Jordan. There were two in the north, there were two in the center, there were two in the south. And then we have begun, when we have heard of Kedesh, that was on the west side of Jordan, and in the north of the land of Canaan. And second, we read now of Shechem, and Shechem that is on that west side of Jordan once again, but Shechem that is lying now in the very center of that land of Canaan. Shechem. And what does Shechem mean? Shechem means shoulder. Shechem, that is speaking about the upper part of the back. The geographic situation of this city that justified this name, because it was lying upon those and amongst those mountains of Ephraim. And that is a portion that was assigned already by Jacob on his sickbed unto Joseph. Because there Jacob has said to Joseph, "And that I have given unto thee one portion above thy brethren, which I have taken out of the hand of the Amorite with my sword and with my bow." That is not actually what he did already take out of their hand, but it is what that Jacob is prophesying of concerning the future. That this portion would be taken out of that hand of the Amorites. And that now portion, that word portion, when he says, "I give unto thee one portion," that word is actually this same word. It is Shechem. That is, "I give unto thee Shechem." I give unto thee the shoulder. Jacob, he parcels out to Joseph this special part of the land. We know that was given to the Ephraimites. Ephraim, boys and girls, that was a son of Joseph. And we can read that the bones of Joseph, when he was brought up out of the land of Egypt, they are buried in this parcel of land. Jacob, he now parcels out this piece of land for Joseph, for his descendants, just as a father. He will give out, he will hand out a meal unto his children. And then when he gives his children this meal, then we can read that Joseph, he is receiving a special part of that meal. That is, that he is receiving the shoulder. And we know that that shoulder, especially that right shoulder, was a portion that was given to whom? I think our children know. That was a portion that was given unto the priests. And when they were given to eat of those sacrifices, and then there was a very special portion that was given unto them, and that was that right shoulder. And Shechem in Mount Ephraim, shoulder. What is the significance? Well, the shoulder, that is now that part of the body upon which burdens are born. Thus, children, you know that Abraham, when he would send away Hagar, that he has given her a bottle of water. And that water, then he has placed it where? He has placed it upon her shoulder. We can read of Rebecca, when she bore that pitcher, that she has borne that pitcher of water upon her shoulder. Thus we read of Ezekiel, that he is bearing his stuff, that he is bearing that stuff upon his shoulder. Samson, then he takes the gates of that city, and he's bearing those gates upon his shoulders. Thus the shoulder, that is that place that is bearing the burdens. Thus the shoulder, that is a symbol of strength. The shoulder, that is a symbol of power, of ability. Saul, when he was to be made king, then we can read that given unto him was a special portion that was, again, that shoulder. Because to this man, or upon the shoulder of this man, would be laid what? Would be laid the burden of God's children. Sons of Kohath, they were those that were given by the Lord no wagons. Why not? Because we read that their part of the service of the Lord, that was to carry that furniture upon their shoulders. And thus we said the priest. The priest, he was given that right shoulder. Why? Because that priest, he was a type. Because that priest, he was a picture. He was a picture of him and that church was looking forward to in that time of the Old Testament. And then that priesthood was that office whereupon the burdens of God's children were born. And so Joseph was also a type that was given to God's church in that Old Testament. And then Jacob, he may prophesy of him that was to come. Because Joseph, he had to bear his own brethren. That was a very special task that was given unto him. That was a weighty task, but he was given by the Lord the strength, the wisdom, the ability, that he may bear his brethren upon his shoulder, that he may carry them upon his back. Thus, we have types. We have many types in the Old Testament already, but in that church of God that was given to look forward to that time, that he would come, upon whom that church may be able to rest. But that was not only that he was given to that people as a type, but we can read that he was given unto that people also by the way of prophecy. That is what we have read together. Because Isaiah, he says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and children, what? And the government that shall be upon his shoulder." That is, that he will receive the strength to be able to carry the burden of his church. And so there was a people that were looking for that time, looking and waiting for that time when the Lord was going to take up the burden of his church. And that is now the significance of this Shechem. And Shechem in Mount Ephraim, also pictured unto the children of Israel as a city of refuge, that he may be for them a type of that great burden bearer. Thus, in a spiritual way, and then we see a man. We see a man slayer. That is, him upon whom is laid the burden of guilt, that he is running on that road, that he is looking for, that he is seeking for, that place of refuge wherein his burden of guilt may be taken over. And our congregation, next week is the Lord's Supper. And we see then here we are presented a mark of grace. A mark of grace of that true church of God, by which we may examine ourselves by beginning in this morning concerning whether that is our place at that holy table of the Lord. Why? We see in our second thought, what is now the opinion of that natural man concerning Shechem? With respect to the Lord's Supper, then it is necessary whether we may know whether we also are upon that road that is going unto Shechem. Not necessary to know whether we have come in Shechem already. No, but necessary to know whether that we have begun that journey, whether that we are upon that road unto Shechem. In that city, there is a rest, there is a peace, there is a safety that is experienced only by a person who may come into that city, the inhabitant of that city. But there are also a people who have heard of that city and who may be given to seek that city in their great need. And now the Lord's Supper, that is not only for that church which is established, but it is also for that church which is concerned. although there are certain things that are necessary for a person to know if he will be able to receive profit from that Holy Supper of the Lord. The Lord's Supper, that is not for good people. No, the Lord, he says, of good people, that there is no place for him. He says, the whole, they need not a physician. I come not therefore to call the righteous. No, the Lord's Supper, that is not for good people. The Lord's Supper, that is, we read in God's Word, for publicans and sinners. That is, for they are, that is, that people whom Christ did sit and eat with in his life. That is for those who may come to know themselves as a manslayer. That is, not only to know themselves as a manslayer, but also that city of refuge, in what way the Lord has given them to experience it, that city of refuge has become for them suitable. That in that suitability they have seen something of their need for that city, and that desire for that city that is born within their heart. Thus the Lord's Supper, that is not for those who have no burden. That is not for those who feel that they may be at home in this world. That is not for those who say, let us eat and drink and be merry, for tomorrow we die. It is not for those who fulfill the lust of the flesh and the desires of the mind in the midst of all this world. No, we know that there are really never not such people in the world, because there is no man in the world that can feel fulfillment in the emptiness and in the carnality that is in this world. There is no man. Every man feels something of that emptiness, but or when the sparks of that speaking conscience, they are continually being put out. They are being flooded by all the pleasures that are in this world. When that is our life, no, then we must say that then the Holy Supper of the Lord, that is not our place. But there are always others. There are those that say, well, I do not feel comfortable there. No, not in this world. No, not in the bars. No, not in the entertainments of this world. And so we come rather unto the house of the Lord. And there we find our comfort. Oh, when we go up daily, when we go up weekly to God's house, and when we are reading the Word of God, oh, then, and then we can go through this world. But what do we not have? Then we do not have a burden. And why not? Well, because then our outward duties, they satisfy our conscience. Oh, then at least I go to church, and at least I read His Word, and at least I bend His knees, and really, what can I do more? Because it is a sovereign God. And so there is no burden. And so we can go free over this world, doing our work 6 days in the week, and resting on the seventh day. Then there is congregation also for us. You understand that there is no burden. Oh, then there is no need for a burden bearer. There are others, congregation, that they come even still closer. We would say they have a certain burden. Oh, there is a certain burden because they know. They know that actually is not right with them. They know that they are living in this world. And they do not actually have what they need. And their life that is not actually right before the Lord. And there is a certain concern. Concern, why? Because here one falls away and there one falls away. And then I also will one day fall away. And then where shall I spend eternity? Oh, then hell, that makes me afraid. And then when I hear something of, heaven, then my heart, that is somewhat drawn. Then I say, oh, that I might die the death of the righteous. And that my last end may be like his. Then I have a certain jealousy. I have a jealousy of God's children. I hear their portion. Oh, actually, they are such a blessed people. They are a blessed people because they are favored by the Lord. Some of these are honest with themselves. Oh, then you say, but I am on the outside of that. But that is not mine. But then I lack everything. And yet, oh, a burden? Then the burden really is not right. And why not? Well, then I desire the benefits. But I do not desire the benefactor. And such a burden that is now not leading me to that great burden bearer. There are others, congregation, they have one burden. That is a burden that comes several times in the year. That is every time that they may see that the Lord's Supper that is going to be administered in the house of God, then there is a burden. Oh, then they want to be part of that. Oh, what is it? It is a burden of my name before that whole church. Oh, then I also want to be counted as one of God's children, by God's children. There are others that actually deceive themselves. Oh, they have a very tender character. Or in one moment, then it is possible that we are able to weep. All the affections, they are so very strong. And now they are substituting what is natural for what is spiritual. And they are listening and listening. And then, they are listening for something that they can take unto themselves and they can apply it to themselves. Congregation, all these, they have never begun to run that road unto Shechem. Their heart has never been drawn out after that great burden bearer. Many profess his name. But they speak of it, why? They speak of it so because everyone else does, like Judas. Then he didn't want to be seen as different. He says, oh Lord, he says, is it I? They never become an Advent people. They never become a people that are looking, are waiting that the Lord would fulfill His own promise. May the Lord keep us then. Oh, may the Lord make us honest. Oh, then we need to ask the Lord, Lord, show me myself. Show me myself. Oh, grant me that I may see who I am and that I may have a need for Thee and that I may be taught that lesson that the Lord is instructing His children concerning Shechem. That is our last thought. Let us sing first. 66, 2 through 4. Turn to me, Thy grace impart. I am desolate indeed. Great the troubles of my heart. Save Thou me, O Lord, I plead. 2, 3, and 4 of Psalter 66. And Shechem in Mount Ephraim, shoulder, city of refuge, for whom? For the manslayer. Thus, a manslayer. What is the burden of a manslayer? burden of a manslayer is his guilt. We all have guilt. Do you have guilt? But guilt is not for everyone a burden. The burden of the manslayer is his guilt. His guilt has become a burden. How is guilt to become a burden? Well, whom did that manslayer slay? That was not his enemy. That was not one he hated before time. No, this was his neighbor. This was his friend. This was his father. This was his brother. Thus, there is there no hatred, but it is the opposite. There is love. Thus, that love that makes that guilt a burden. Thus, when we have guilt, but we have no love, then it is no burden. But when there is guilt and there is love, then that guilt becomes our burden. Paul says, "Knowest thou not that the goodness of the Lord leadeth thee to repentance?" Thus it is that the goodness of the Lord is breaking the heart of his children. What did David say? He says, "Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight." That broke his heart. Israel in Egypt, they lay under a great burden that was very real. They felt that burden. They experienced that burden. It was a burden for them that was more than notion. They had no rest from that burden day or night. And what do we read? We read, in process of time, the king of Egypt died. And the children of Israel sighed by reason of their burden. And they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of their burden. In process of time, that was not right away. There was a time when that burden just began, that the shoulder of the children of Israel that was strong enough that they may bear their own burden. That is the same with God's children. Oh, there is a time when indeed that love from the Lord and that sin, that guilt against him that is becoming for them a burden. But it is a time where in their own shoulder is still able to carry that burden through the world. What must we say of that people concerning the Holy Supper of the Lord? We say that there is now one of God's true children that will be sent away by the Lord. But, are they actually able to profit from those things that are presented to God's church at His holy table? Why? Because that Shechem, that shoulder, that has never become necessary, precious, suitable to the people. But now we read, in process of time, then it becomes different. In process of time, then we read that burden that is becoming heavier and heavier for the children of Israel. So that they are experiencing that they are not able to bear up under this burden. What do they become afraid of? They become afraid that they are going to die. They become afraid that they will perish under that burden. And indeed, that is the very intention of that Pharaoh. So that in process of time, then that people begin to see that when they are not delivered from that burden, then they are going to be crushed by that burden. What is their hope? Their hope that is in the promise of the Lord. That is the promise of the Lord that He has spoken already unto Abraham. When the Lord said, your seed that shall be a stranger in a strange land, and they shall serve them and they shall afflict them 400 years. And that nation, the Lord says, will I judge, and afterward they shall come out with great substance. Thus we see that people in the land of Egypt that are laying under that afflicting hand of their taskmasters, and then they are going back time and again to the promise of the Lord. But what do they have to experience that it takes so long? Oh, then those children, they say sometimes, Father, how long? Those boys, then there was a time they also had to go out, and they were under the strap of the Egyptians. And they began also to ask, Father, how long? Then those mothers, when those children, those little babes, they began to be cast into that river. Oh, then those mothers, they come sometimes to their husband and they say, how long? How long? How long? And what can he say? I do not know. Oh, the promise of the Lord to which that people did cling, but they had no ability to fulfill it from their own side. And the closer that people came to their deliverance, the heavier that those burdens became. And the Lord, he gave to them an encouragement that was in Moses. That when Moses is coming, then we can read that the people, they were so glad. But what happens? Then they are given no straw. And then the burdens, they are increasing. So that the dirt that is living in the heart of God's children, that is beginning to come out of that heart, and when they are coming against Moses, the servant of the Lord, in the rebellion of their heart, when they are laying under that burden and they are not longer able to bear that burden upon their shoulders. Sin, congregation, that makes separation. And there is a people for whom that becomes a burden in their life that is unbearable. Why? Because of love. And that law that is demanding, but they cannot fulfill it. And why not? Because they have to experience that they are weak through the flesh. And that debt, that is not getting smaller. No, that debt that is growing every day, so that they are fearing to succumb under that debt with my burden of transgression. Heavy laden, overborne. Then there is a curse. And that manslayer, he is lying under that curse. And that curse that is threatening to crush him. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. And they appointed Shechem in Mount Ephraim. Oh, do you understand something of what that now means unto that people? When the Lord by His Spirit, He is sanctifying His Word. And when that people may be given by the grace of God to view what Shechem is, when the Lord reveals that shoulder of Christ, Shechem, that is appointed by the Father to bear the burden of the guilt of the manslayer, that guilt that he is no longer able to carry upon his own shoulders. Isaiah says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Oh, when the Lord opens the eyes of that manslayer, and then he is showing him that way, that road unto Shechem, that shoulder. And then how suitable that manslayer sees with that burden of transgression that he is not able to bear upon his own shoulder anymore. And when he may see something, or when the Lord may open unto him what the strength of that shoulder is, and how that he was strengthened in that human nature, that he may bear the sin of that church by his divine nature. Oh, that they may see the strength that a price that was so completely paid, that they may see the strength of that shoulder in the satisfaction of the Father when He has received everything that the Son has done in the place of the people. Oh, what the people may see then in that moment. What a great power. What a great might. What a great mercy. What a great grace. Oh, then the Lord, He gives, He strengthens those feeble knees that they may begin to take the first steps upon that way to Shechem. Oh, that they who say they are so unworthy of it, oh, that is that now also for such a one as I am. But then that the Lord, He is showing unto them just for whom that city of Shechem that has been appointed by the Lord. Oh, that it is for that manslayer. That it is just for that manslayer. Oh, then they may see that the Lord is drawing them. Then they may see that the Lord is inviting just that kind of people unto Himself. That the Lord says, I drew them with the cords of a man and with the bands of love. And I was unto them as one that taketh off the yoke from the jaws. Oh, then that people. No, they have not come into that city, but in the expectation, oh, just to see Him for a moment, and by faith to believe, oh, and then they already may feel something of that weight, that burden that is being lifted off from those jaws. So that they are encouraged. Then they are saying, Lord, show me more of that city. Oh, that I may see Him once again. And with a little view, oh, their hearts, they know what it is to rejoice. They know what it is to rejoice for one moment in their life. One moment. Not because they were in that city, but because there is a city, then they have rejoiced because the Lord has shown also unto them for whom that city is. And now to come there, oh, that has become their new desire, that they also may come and that they may be given now to cast that burden upon the Lord and to experience that He careth also for me. Congregation, we have to close. Oh, are there such a people in our midst with such a life? Because the Lord's Supper, that is for that people for whom that Shechem that has become so suitable, that has become so precious unto them. Oh, that is for a people for whom the Lord has opened their eyes to show them that they are the manslayer. Oh, that the Lord has opened their eyes for one moment in their life, and that they may see that there is also a Shechem. One moment of rejoicing, that there is a shoulder, another shoulder. And when my shoulders, they cannot bear it anymore. One moment of rejoicing, that there is a way, that there is a possibility, and that it is in that city of refuge, and that has been prepared by the Lord Himself. Oh, may the Lord give, and that His manslayers may be drawn unto Him. And they appointed Shechem in Mount Ephraim. That shoulder, why? For, He says, He shall bear their iniquities. Oh, what did Judas say when he, as a type of that great surety, and then he presented himself before his father. Oh, then he says, as that great type, he said, I will bear the blame forever. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, show unto us our wretchedness. Make our guilt, which we all feel, and which we all know within our conscience, make it by love our burden. Plant that love of thee within. Give us tears to weep. Give us a heart to mourn. And open unto thy people for just a moment. Oh, could it please thee, a little moment of a refuge-taking faith, whereby they may become an Advent people, a people longing, and that they may receive the promise, and that they may be given to enter into that safety of that city. Bring us with desire in thy house in this afternoon. Help us once more. Forgive all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 398. 1, 2, and 3. The Lord upholds the faltering feet and makes the weak securely stand. The burdened ones, bowed down with grief, are helped by His most gracious hand. And what follows in 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 398. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.